All right, our opening scripture this morning is so appropriate for all these wonderful testimonies. It comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 4. But I'd like to introduce verse 4 by introducing you to verse 3 first. So Colossians chapter 1, 3 and 4. And I really believe that this is how a lot of the connections that have been made are divine connections in ministries. And I really think that this is one of a very important reasons. Paul wrote to the believers, the Colossian believers, and he said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith and of the love which you have to all the saints." And many of us over the years have studied a lot, and we're coming to that place where, in the fail-proof living teaching later today, unless a lot of other wonderful things happen and I just have to save it for next week or something, but we want to talk about the agape kind of love that Paul is talking about. And this love is a powerful love. This little body of believers that Paul is writing this letter to, they didn't have cell phones and smartphones and iPads and email and any of the very quick ways of communicating that we have now. But yet there was something about those believers. The report got back to him, and he wrote this letter in response to what was happening among the Colossian believers. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Now, that's a very powerful statement right there, because their times they lived in were no different than the times we live in, and we think it's evil and we think it's awful and darkness is descending upon the land. But what happens to the darkness when one light is turned on? Darkness disappears. You see, darkness never overwhelms light. Light overwhelms darkness, and it's gone. And so, since we heard of your faith individually, how about when you're all sitting together in one place and you're gathered together in a body of believers wherever you are, whether it's in Proctorsville or Wyndham or wherever you live, there are other brothers and sisters that are meeting today, and wherever they're meeting together, there should be this testimony. "Since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." There's no greater place to place your faith. There's no greater one that you can trust with your life than the Lord Jesus Christ. And also our eternal hopes and promises of God rest on who we say we give our lives to. So the faith is how you lean on him with absolute confidence. This is from the Amplified, which I really like, because it brings out a little bit of a deeper understanding. It isn't just a wishy-washy faith. "Oh, I wish I had some and I wash my hands." And that's not faith. Faith is knowing God said it, I believe it settles it. And we all made a declaration at the beginning. We decided that we are going to receive the goodness of God. And yes, it's all by faith. You have to know God is a good God, and he's good all the time. So God is good? And all the time?
God is good.
Gosh, guys are so awesome today. Wow, and that's really true. Well, if God is good and he's good all the time, then it really makes good sense that we would put a good measure of faith into the goodness of God, doesn't it? And people are going to hear that about you. One of the greatest compliments you will ever get is someone, after you've had a conversation, they'll look at you and say, "I may not agree with all that you have to say, but I can tell you've been with Jesus." Wow. There's a testimony, isn't it? Yes. And so there's an absoluteness of that confidence in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness. No matter what else is going on around us, we're in this world, but we're no longer of it. But there, if we're looking in all the right places, we're going to find the presence of the Lord. You didn't have to look very far, and you don't have to holler and shout at him to get his attention. He got a good night's sleep last night, so he's really ready to take care of all of your needs today. And his goodness, and of the unselfish love. This is the kind of love, the agape love, is an unselfish love. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that later. But when you love the way God loves, then you'll forgive the way God forgives. And when you forgive the way God forgives, that's when you're the most like him. When you love like him and you forgive like him, you're the most like him. Always remember that. Don't settle for this little shallow, foolish, worldly love. Oh, love ye in the Lord. Yeah, and then cut your throat on the way out of the parking lot. Don't get into that. It's either you love somebody or you don't. And when you have a God kind of love, the God love that's down on the inside of you by the Holy Ghost, it won't matter who the person is, because that love is going to flow out of you, and you're going to learn to treat everyone the same way our Heavenly Father does us. And that's always a good reminder to love others as God loves us. In fact, Jesus commanded us that we would love others as he loves us. So it's really important. And when we love like that, even as a church, people are going to hear of that. They're going to want to hook up with you. They're going to want to come to know you. They're going to want to be involved in what you're doing. And we really see that happening. Now, we're not a mega church by any standards, but mega in the spiritual realm. There's a tremendous amount of faith in this room. And when one prays and we all get in agreement, all of heaven is activated when you call upon the name of Jesus in faith. And that's another thing. People say, oh, all I knew how to do was to pray. And like, well, duh. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know what's going to happen when he hears his name? All the angelic hosts are just waiting for that response to come and to help you, to wage war in the heavenlies on your behalf. And the Holy Ghost on the inside of you wants to rise up and grab you and just shake you and say, yeah, I've been waiting to hear you say that. I've been waiting to hear you release your faith in my word. I've been waiting so long for you to trust me and really hang on. Like that song of praise that you just sang. Hang on with all of you've got, all of your very core, everything inside of you. He's our navigator through the minefields of life. And he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will abide with us and dwell in us forever. And that's where the love comes from. The agape love comes from down in your spirit. Your spirit man is made in the image of Christ, and you can love like he loves. But we got to die to some stuff, like Tom was talking about. Our flesh, our own desires, our five physical senses, sometimes they scream. And the Holy Spirit may be just whispering, but all the while our flesh is screaming and our wants and our desires are screaming, we don't hear him. And sometimes we do have to get still to hear him. But today, if he's telling you to love somebody the way he loves them, if he's telling you to forgive somebody the way he forgives them, don't hold back. Let that be a word to you today. We all got people that get under our skin if we let them. But we can't hang on to stuff. The time of the Spirit is now. And it's not the only thing we need to be hanging on to is the Lord, and not the things that... Any Star Trek fans, any Trekkie fans in the house? Remember the Klingons? Yep. They were always trying to get onto the Enterprise. See the Enterprise spaceship is like the believer. When they activate the force shield, we activate the faith shield, and the Klingons are like little demonic spirits that want to come and attack that ship. The Klingons are like little demons that want to cling on to us and attach themselves to us and suck the lifeblood of God right out of us. So activate your faith shield, walk in love. Faith works by love. It won't work any other way. So, hallelujah. Grab a huggy break real quick. Didn't do our missions offering yet. Duh. I'll admit it. I get caught up just like you. If there's something going on in the Lord, I want to be a part of it. I'm jumping in the river with you guys. Okay, when we do this, for those of you that are visiting, this you won't see the tithes and offerings passed. We put those in the little church building in the back, and we believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you about that. If you're visiting from another church, make sure your tithe goes to the church that you are affiliated with. But if you want to sow an offering, this helps people in this church go on a missions trip. It helps to cover the cost of visas, travel documents, plane tickets, things like that. So if this is what you're giving to, if you want to give an offering to the church, put it in the little church. But this is specifically for the missions fund that we as a body, it's kind of an in-house thing that we do on the third Sunday of the month, and then there's a nice dinner downstairs for anybody that can stay. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the doors of opportunity that you've opened up to us around the world, and that among us there are those whom you have spoken to and placed it in hearts to travel with the gospel and to do all of the things that you've enabled us and empowered us to do, and we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for the faithful givers that are a part of this offering to help any one of us or any number of us to go to the utmost parts of the earth with the call of God on our lives. And we thank you, and we thank you for your blessing those who do give as well in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of you that are joining us for the first time this morning, or it's been a while, we've been doing a study of Peter's revelation that I call fail-proof living, because in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 or 5 through 10, Peter talks about a series of works, if you will, of the Holy Spirit in our lives, building us and molding us and conforming us more into the likeness of Christ. And at the conclusion of those scriptures, he comes to a startling statement in the beginning, where he makes the statement that we will never fall. And that's a place that I'm not there yet. But if the Holy Spirit inspired Peter and gave him that understanding and gave him that revelation, that means it's possible. And if it's possible, I'm in it. I'm all for it. If it's not, I'm not. It's not worth the battle. If all these promises that God made are not worth it, then why are we here? However, Peter came to the conclusion about adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance or self-control, adding to your temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or love, or the agape love. For if these things be in you and shall abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's why it's a good reason never look back. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now that is an awesome truth. But you see, it's a growth process. Faith just gets us in the door. And then virtue comes. Virtue is the new value system that we have as Christians. The new man already has all of these qualities. When you're born again, the new spirit man inside of you is in the exact image of Christ. And there's no blemish, there's no fault, there's no wrinkle, and God has declared you to be righteous. But the life that we're still in these earth suits in, we have to live them out in this world around us. We're no longer of it spiritually, but we're still in it. But there's a standard, if you will, or a goal in mind that God has to bring us to this place where we don't have to keep saying, "Oh, Father, please help me, I fell again." I don't think God would tire of that, because he knew us before the foundation of the world, and he knew we'd be here today, and he knows how the story's going to end for each one of us. But for our good, we need to start thinking and seeing ourselves as God sees us. And this teaching helps us to do that. We've come a long ways. I think it must have been late winter or early spring that we started this. And we're coming to the last part, verse 7, into godliness, brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness, love. And so that's where I would like to pick up today for the time that we have left for today. And the opening scripture from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4, the love that Paul had seen in these believers and had heard of their faith and their love, kind of love he's talking about, the agape kind of love. And the standard of love that Paul wrote about is included in all of those who were present and all those who were not. So he's speaking to believers everywhere. God is no respecter of persons, and whatever he's made available for one, he's made available for all. The difference is some people choose to and some people choose not to. It's basically that simple. But all true Christians, here's some truths that are going to for us to think about our walk with the Lord, because we're each responsible for ourselves. It's not my job to be responsible for your actions or how you live. I'm not going to call you up at night and say, what the heck are you doing that for? What you do at home is your business, and I'm not a nosy pastor. That's between you and God and the Holy Ghost. I go to bed and I sleep really well at night. I told you many times I love you so much, I bring you right to the cross and leave you there, and I sleep really good. Because I came to a conclusion many years ago that I can't fix anybody. We each have to have a heart and a spirit that's open and ready to receive the help that the Helper, the Holy Ghost, can bring in our lives. He's the one that brings the change. Each of us, we're all ministers of the gospel, so I never wanted this congregation to be pastor congregation. No, we're all one in this walk, and we're going to make it through together. And we're going to help and learn from each other and grow as we go. And to graduation day, and it's just going to be an awesome day. So here's some things to keep in remembrance as we go. This walking in ungodly agape love is really a big challenge, because you see the Holy Spirit is building layers in our lives of growth and development. But it only happens as we are willing. He doesn't force us, and he doesn't force his will upon us, but he certainly makes it known and gives us the opportunity to agree with that so that the changes can take place. Tom was talking a little bit about that, and during his fast, the Lord began to show him some things, and if we'll be attentive, he shows us things as well. Number one, all true Christians are brethren one to another. It's like I've had the privilege of going to seven other nations, and every one of them, whether it was the Czech Republic or Slovakia or Austria or Germany or Kenya, Africa, or the Philippines, or India. I can only talk about the places I've been. But if we are in the presence of another Christian, that person is our brother or our sister. And whether you can understand their language or we can understand each other or not, it doesn't matter. We have been made one by the Spirit of God, and everywhere we go, that's why Christian love is so important. That's why that witness, Jesus said, "You are my all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one to another." And this is the kind of love he's talking about. That's the love that makes the difference. That's the love that the world will notice. They already think we're a little bit out there on a limb, and the Bible calls us peculiar people, and I'm all for that. I qualify for peculiar. You know, I got a capital P before my name, peculiar. But however, I'm learning. I want the revelation of love that John had. John the Revelator, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote the epistles, John, who wrote the book of Revelations, John had a wonderful revelation of the unconditional love of the Father, and he wrote extensively about it. And I want that. I want that so that I can learn to walk in it too. I have a glimpse of it. And there's more to be had, but this is one thing I have learned. No matter where I go, no matter what church I visit, if there's Christians there, I'm one with them and they with me. Did not Jesus pray that in John chapter 17, that as he and the Father were one, the Father was in him and he in the Father, that they were one in each other? And did he not pray for those that would come through faith into the kingdom of God, that they also would be one with him and he and them, and that we would be one with each other? Did he not pray that prayer? See, that's very important. And sometimes we can get in a tiff and get our little fur rubbed the wrong way, even if it's a brother or a sister, and we say things that we ought not to say that aren't birthed in love. We hold grudges against people, and I know that. If you did what I did for a few weeks, you'd figure it out. It's a hard place to be. And you can't, just because somebody did something, we can't, if we call ourselves Christians, we can't go on not forgiving. We can't go on and just hold on to stuff. What if you died tonight and you left something undone? Would you want your brother or sister to be hung in that limbo that you never forgave them? And that you never said you're sorry? That's why this is, we've had a lot of fun with this, but there are some parts of this that you got to start seeing it the way God sees it. You just have to do that, because if you don't, you won't get it. And it helps you to put to death those thoughts and those reasons to justify not forgiving someone or to have aught with someone. Did not Jesus say, if anyone has aught, that we're supposed to be the initiators, we're supposed to be the one that goes to that person and not wait for them to come to us? See, that's the difference. Worldly love says, well, they deserve that. And so we wait for them to come to us and say, oh, please forgive me. But we're supposed to be the ones to initiate that process. Why? Because God initiated the process with us. And the Christians mean Christ-like ones. So as he was, so are we. Faithfulness runs through every aspect of relationships in the Christian lifestyle. These are some qualities. Faithfulness is also rooted in love, in agape love. Check your faithfulness level. That affects every aspect of your relationships within a marriage, within a family, within a workplace, within the body of believers that you gather with. Are you a faithful person? Can God depend on you? Can he count on you? If you really love him and you're walking in love, you'll be faithful. Faithfulness is really big. Faith, hope, and love are the three principal graces in the Christian lifestyle, and certainly a matter for prayer and thanksgiving. It's a matter of prayer if we're not there yet. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will help me to overcome the way I feel towards that person, or the bitterness or resentment that I've held inside of me towards a person. Because sometimes it might be so to the point where a person has an extremely difficult time of letting things go. I mean, when you think of the prize at the end of the race, what's it going to matter when you're at that point where you take your last breath and you're still holding something against somebody? See, that's not a good place to be. And not only that, God has a really challenging time, I would say at the least, to pour out all of his goodness and his blessings to the point where we receive them. Worldly love arises either from views of interest or from likeness and manners. We love to get along. That's what the world does. They love a person enough barely to get by, to get along with them. But you got to remember, it's always selfish. They're always looking for something in return. we say we love a person, but the world they love is, we will love so long as we get something back in return from that other person. And many of us, before we got saved, you know what I'm talking about. And we get saved, and until we learn that there's a more higher love, a more sincere, a more honest love, that's basically where we stay, until we come to realize God has something that we haven't even tapped into yet. We're just scratching the surface. Carnal love arises from the appetite for pleasure. Eros, erotica, a lustful kind of love, and we don't really even care about the other person, just so long as my desires and my wants and my needs are satisfied, I'm good. But agape love is a love that gives, expecting nothing in return. And that's the place that's really hard, because we're not programmed that way to think. We have to learn to think according to the Word. And that's called renewing our minds. God doesn't renew our minds. We're responsible for that ourselves. So, to think those kinds of love, the worldly love or the carnal love, we need to think of it as something corrupt and selfish, and that's where it goes. But God's love helps us to love way, way beyond that. Christian love arises from the Holy Spirit and is full of holiness. That's a real truth. That's, we have to remember that it's the Holy Spirit in us. He's the lover of our souls, and He's the lover of other souls through us. So we have to kind of get rid of the flesh to love like God loves, and it's very uncomfortable sometimes, because you and I know that we can always justify saying something or doing something and then have to repent for it later. Because that's how our flesh and the unrenewed part of our minds think. But the Spirit, down on the inside, always seeks the best, will do the best. It won't just go 1 mile, it'll go 100 if that's what it takes. Jesus said, go the extra mile. That's the only scripture I could think of that. But I've seen times when even walking an extra mile with somebody wasn't enough. It might require a lifetime before you see change. But it's a walk worth walking, and a love worth having, and a love worth loving, to see the benefits of that. John chapter 13, please. This is just an introduction. We're just getting started with this, so we do make CDs of each of the services. So if you would like, this is just another one in the series from the beginning. We have them all. They're also on the Renewed Life in Jesus website too. You can listen at any time, usually after Monday or Tuesday. Tom has those posted. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. It wasn't new to Jesus, but it was new to those whom he was speaking to. He said, a new commandment, not a suggestion, not a thought, not an idea, not only if I feel like it, or only on Sunday morning when we're all together and we're high on the new wine. Don't let rainy days and Mondays get you down now, like Karen Carpenter. Poor girl, I wish I'd have been a Christian then. I would have prayed for her to make Monday the best day of the week. I mean, after we feed on stuff that eagles feed on Sundays, Monday should be awesome. Monday should be off the charts for the Christian. It should be the highest, most greatest day of your week. If you're going to have one, make it Monday and blow all their minds. People get ugly on Mondays. You don't have to join the ugly bunch. You can be the overcomers. You can be the eagle Christians. So a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love you? Do you ever think of that? Do you ever dwell on what's there about me that God would be willing to love me like that? Did you ever think of the worth and the value of your life in God's sight? Or do you sing that old wretched song, "Oh, I'm just an old wretch. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace," and beat yourselves up and go contrary to the word of God on the wall over there? No, that's not who you are anymore. You see, from before the foundation of the world, Jesus was always God's plan of salvation. And he saw worth and value in every life. Your life means everything to him. A life that he was worth dying for. That's how much he loves you. The question is, can I follow this commandment and lay my life down for somebody else? And you can ask yourselves that question, because I can't answer that. I can only answer it for me. But if we are commanded to love others as he loved us, in order to be able to do that, think about the person that you can't. And maybe it might be it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. And think about, what if Jesus felt that way about me? I told you this part's going to be serious in places, but we need to see life as God sees life in order to appreciate that person that's sitting beside you or behind you or in front of you today. Or maybe when you go home, the person that you sit down and have lunch with, the person that you work with, your brother, your sister, your family members, and the family of God at large. You have to see their value and their worth to God in order for this love to be able to manifest in your life towards another person. And that's a real key to unlocking. This is the how-to. A lot of times we can come together and I can just go on and on and on with all these things, but if we never find out what's the how-to involved with it, it becomes very difficult. And then Jesus said, by this what? That we love one another. He said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So, if you would really like to be known as a disciple or a follower of Christ, this is really important for all of us. And I think of another Christian couple that Faith and I bowl with, and we switched to Friday nights because there weren't enough people for Sunday nights. And we could get all caught up in bad-mouthing and cussing and swearing. I want to tell you an incident that happened Friday night. The team that we were bowling against, how does this relate? They got hammered. They were drinking shots right out of the gate before they started. And it didn't take long for the first one to hit and the second one to hit and the third one to lay what depth charges on the deck of a submarine. Boom! Boom! And every time we could tell, because they would start missing their shots in the gutter. So were their mouths. And we could see that progression of events, but never, not one time, did the four of us slip up, start judging them, start bad-mouthing them. We spoke, it was GD this and Jesus you know what that, and cussing and swearing, and yet we maintained our faith walk, we maintained our love walk, and in the end we thrashed them really good. Love wins every time. Yeah, we were missing you. Woohoo! Yeah, you weren't there. You're the woohoo lady. She comes and encourages us, I'll tell you. She's got a woohoo that'll startle hell. It's wonderful. And here's a prime it always works here because we're all of the same spirit, but when we're not and we're out with the unsaved, should we change our standards? Should we compromise to get along with them? No. You just be you. We're real people. We just live in an earth suit like they do. But if we come to realize Jesus loves them just as much as he loves us, that's a concept to some people that's very strange. Well, I'm saved. He loves me more. No, he don't. He loved me just as much when I was unsaved. I know he didn't like what I was doing, but he loved me just as much. And sometimes after we've been saved for a long time, we kind of forget what it's like to be lost and how people have no knowledge. They have no compass. They have no direction. They can't walk without swearing. They can't walk without sinning. That's what unsaved people do. And if we're going to win them to the Lord, then we have to maintain our walk without compromise, but be there when they start stumbling, and we'll be there because we'll have a word. We'll be able to pray with them. We'll be able to help them. We'll be able to be there in their times of trouble, in their times of sadness, because we have words of hope down on the inside of us. And the love of God is always ready. It's always ready, 24/7. Even in the middle of the night, you could get a phone call and love goes into action. You don't even think about it. And when you keep continuously learning to walk in that, it gets easier and easier and easier. It really, really does. It just becomes a part of who you are. It becomes a part of who we are. So we're going to look at that in a little more detail as time goes on. And we will eventually end up in Corinthians chapter 13, line by line. And I can relate to the symbols. You'll have to read it to put yourself in remembrance if you haven't for a while about the symbols. Anyway, as we always do in every service, whether it's at the beginning or the middle or any time during, it's really important that we as a body pray for those among us who have needs. And if there's anyone who would like prayer, please come up, and so that we may pray for you. And those of you that are back there, just release your faith with ours, that whatever those needs are, they're going to be taken care of in that way. We have an incredible house filled with faith and love. Anybody want prayer this morning?